Joining us now, Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. Rick, Paul Allen, Ben Lieber, Jared Wells, a former bass player for the Allman Brothers. He's our sound guy today, and thank you for having us at Winter Park. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
How's it going?
Great job today, by the way. The twists that you designed on the defensive line and the cloud coverage. Somebody has to be running this with no Mike Zimmer here, so I just assumed the defense dominated at certain times, and I would imagine you had your fingerprints on it.
No, I just that's not my area of expertise, and I know we have a great coaching staff, and even with Coach Zim not here, he's still very heavily involved being away. And but our coaches do a great job. Our players, we have a great group of guys down there that know what needs to get accomplished while Coach Zim's gone, and it's been very, very, very competitive, and guys are working extremely hard.
Sweet.
I know this probably doesn't reflect now because you're much more wise and experienced in your position now, but was there ever a time where you're evaluating players and you want to go actually on the field and, like, kind of coach them up and, like, you know, put them through the paces and the knowledge that you had as a player?
Yeah.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Don't tell Nick Saban, but...
It's a, like I said, I know everybody knows their roles and responsibilities here, and everybody's very capable of their jobs. And, you know, we have great coaching staff, great coaches, not only as the coordinators, but at the position coaches, and they sure in the heck know a lot more than I would know as far as going out there and trying to coach.
With Zimmer gone, the installation of a 3-4 defense and Everson Griffin standing up as an outside linebacker, sheer genius. Sean Payton's never going to see it coming. I mean,
no,
it's just brilliant.
We moved Anthony Barr to nose tackle today. And it
unbelievable. He's so athletic.
Yeah.
Actually might work out.
Terrence Newman out of the backfield on the wheel route.
Yeah.
The Saints are never going to see this coming. It's absolutely brilliant.
And wait till you see Pat Shurmur and the wishbone offense we have coming.
Just a broad question from where you are, day three OTAs, mini camp, then training camp and preseason games. We're like 10 weeks from the Buffalo preseason game. It's flying right now. What are your goals for the 2017 season?
Well, right now we're just working on what we have to get better at today. And we'll have a staff meeting with Coach Zimmer. Coach Zimmer is able to watch the tape. We go through the corrections, and we're actually right now in our evaluation process. We're watching all these guys. I'm starting to formulate in my mind guys that are potential practice squad guys or guys that are going to make the 53, guys that aren't going to make the 53, and it's way too early in the process right now, but at least you can start coming up with different ideas and some thoughts on how things are going to work.
So even after just three OTAs and the rookies had their own little mini camp, you're already mentally starting to kind of categorize guys where they're going to fit with this team, even after just a handful of practices?
Yeah, we'll have a personnel meeting with the coaches today, and we'll go through how the guy's doing, how they're learning in the classroom, how they're treating our support staff, the right kind of people that we want here. Talent-wise, they have to be able to play and line up and help us win games on Sunday, but we talk about all the ancillary things that go along with being not only a good football player, but a good person as well.
Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings, Eden Prairie, Winter Park. How's your son, JD, coming along up to the Cornhusker season?
He's doing well.
Good.
So I got an opportunity. Their spring game was the day before Easter, and I gave the scouts the weekend off to go home and spend time with their families during Easter. So we went down there.
Convenient.
And got an opportunity to see him play in a spring game and did pretty good.
Yeah, he was he'll be a redshirt freshman?
Correct.
That's outstanding. What's Mike Riley like as a coach from what you know from this spot?
Very brilliant mind.
Yeah.
Knows how to get his point across, but he does it in a different way. Very well respected the way he runs his program down there. And I know we feel pretty blessed that he gave JD the opportunity to go down there and be a part of that program.
Speaking of young players and the Big Ten, so Pat Elflein has to win a center or guard spot, probably center from what we saw or what's taking place at OTAs. But he has to win that spot, right? It's like you're not going to take him in a certain spot, and you did this at Ohio State, even though 3 years of it was guard, one at center, and then all of a sudden you just roll in and get it. He has to win it, right?
No, all these rookies do. They have to earn their spot on the 53. They have to earn their play time if they're going to be active on game day. And if they're going to be a starter, they have to earn that. And that's the way I know Coach Zimmer wants it set up, that nothing is given to you here. We try it. You know, right now we're beyond the point of bringing in as much as we can. I don't know if there's another significant move, but try to get the most competitive 90-man roster you can headed into this, and then let them all compete, because in the end, you got to trust on what guys are going to help you win ball games. We're in this to win games. And that process, like I said, the evaluation process started now, but each guy has to earn his position.
Well, when you talk about a guy like Elflein, the one thing that I heard from Ohio State, and you watch it on tape, is his competitive sort of nastiness at which he plays. When does that sometimes supersede you being perfect as far as X's and O's and technique? Because can he just win a spot, or not even him, can a guy just win a spot just because he plays with an edge?
I think that comes, more as they become veteran. I mean, they'll stick out. We have a couple of rookies here that are sticking out from an athletic standpoint that we're pretty excited about. But the whole part of rookies, and Ben, you would know this more than PA would know, is the mental part of the game. Up here, it's so mental.
What, do you think I'm dumb?
No, I just you never got an opportunity to line up and play like Ben.
You.
And, I was a great training camp guy for a couple of years.
There we go. Self-deprecating. Continue.
But it's, do the coaches trust you to do the right things, make the right calls up front, make the right adjustments, run the right route? All that is the difference. It's not so much the physical ability as it is the mental part of the game that separates guys at this level.
My daughter's nickname is Coley. She's 14. Any chance Stacy Coley catches a lot of preseason touchdowns? So on TV or radio, I can say Touchdown Coley.
Yeah, did you name the horse that, your new horse?
No, the new horse is Skull Sister.
Skull Sister.
Yeah, so that you'll like that in July, but in August, Touchdown Coley. Yes. What do you think of Stacy Coley so far?
We held him out of practice today a little bit, just a minor tweak. So we just want to make sure he's healthy. But he's one of those guys that has rare athletic ability and speed, and we want to definitely upgrade the speed at the receiver position, and bringing in, I think, the guys that we have now and some of these young guys, we definitely, I think, accomplish that.
At South Florida, when they weren't using Marlon Mack and they were using Rodney Adams, how did they use Adams? Was he deep down the field guy? Was he bubble screen guy? What did they do with Rodney Adams?
They used he was a little bit of a scheme guy. They ran him on a lot of jet sweeps because he has such great speed, and he's a tough runner for his size. They use him on bubble screens. They'd use him down the field some to utilize his athletic ability. So I thought they did a great job trying to get the ball in his hands when they needed a playmaker. And he definitely showed that, as we went through this evaluation.
Sweet.
When we going back to evaluating players and attributes and skill sets, the one thing that I think you guys always look for is kind of dual athletes, guys that play other sports besides football. Bill Belichick has a love for lacrosse, as you obviously know with your son. Is there a sport, when you guys are looking at these players, that maybe has the best parallel to that of a football player, whether it be wrestling or basketball or lacrosse? Is there one that kind of stands out among the rest that say, hey, if he can be really good in that, that translates really well to football?
I think, and I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of college coaches, too, and just their high school recruiting. And the one thing, a lot of guys, they want to go out and see them do other sports besides. They're going to get, specialized once they get to the college level, more than likely, and definitely up here. But when they go out and scout high school, and I'd love to go on to watch all the high school lacrosse games and high school football games. I'd go to high school basketball games. I don't know if there's one sport. There's, like wrestling, you can find out a guy's passion and his grit and his toughness and his strength. And that's an unbelievable sport to show, how mentally tough you have to be to get through that. You watch lacrosse, where it's a lot of movement skills and stop and start and hand-eye coordination with shooting. And you have to be pretty tough, especially on the defensive guys, the slide and and they bang around pretty good. In basketball, just the elite athletic ability, the ability to leap up in the air. So I think all those sports have a lot of value to, if I'm sitting there and trying to evaluate these players at other sports, you definitely can look at a lot of those attributes that we just talked about.
Sneaky Will Sutton move, what do you like about him?
Well, we liked a lot coming out of Arizona State, and I know they kind of beefed him up. We thought he was an inside pass rusher. He was very good his junior year. He put on some weight when what he was asked to do his senior year, and maybe not as effective as a pass rusher.
Right.
His weight's back down to where it was his junior year in college. So
I think he had 13 sacks that junior year.
Yeah, so I know, you know, as we're looking through and watching Dante Jones and how he's all of a sudden now things are starting to click for him now that we moved him to under tackle. But, you know, we always felt that you can never have enough pass rushers up front. And we felt this, you know, to bring Will in here, and he had a lot of opportunities when he was released from Chicago, and fortunately, you know, we brought him in here and we're able to get there, and just another, I think, viable body to go in there and compete to see if he'll help our ball club.
Yes, sir.
We debated this earlier, PA and I did, that when you look at the defensive side, there's a lot of kind of sneaky competition battles between three technique, nickel corner, you know, maybe that Will linebacker spot, and also the safety spot. In your estimation, your mind as a staff, is there one that's kind of on top of the list as far as you guys think is going to be the most competitive through the offseason?
I would throw in nose tackle, too, because of Johnson Jalil that we drafted from Iowa and how he's looked so far in this. And I think the right across the board, I thought we feel we have a pretty good front seven to line up with, and to add the depth that we were able to add and some of the players that we drafted this year, it's going to be very competitive to even hopefully improve from where we were last year.
When the head coach was on my radio show Monday and we weren't talking about his eye, he said Andre Patterson is the best defensive line coach in the NFL. A fantastic praise. You know, we've heard it before. But, like, Everson Griffin, Robinson Hunter, some of the names we always talk about. What about Steven Weatherly? Like a guy like Andre Patterson, how can a guy like that get a second-year guy like Weatherly to be better so maybe he makes the team?
Well, he was, you know, had all the physical traits that we look for. He can run fast. He's 6'5", 6'6". He's got arms that hang down to his knees, and he's very athletic. In fact, they stood him up as an outside linebacker. So when you can get those type of athletes, and you have not only Andre, but I think all of our coaches can, if you can get them the physical traits and they have the passion for the game and they love to play the game of football, then, and they're willing to work at it, then I think we have a great coaching staff that develops these young guys. And I think, you know, we have a lot of young talent on this football team that have really developed and helping us win games.
Couple of quickies to close for the GM, Ben.
Well, you know, selfishly, I have to ask, being a K-State guy, you guys drafted Elijah Lee out of K-State, a linebacker who I was fortunate actually to call a few games of K-State and watch him play personally. What do you like about his skill set, how he could fit into this defense, and does he have a chance to actually compete to start?
We're only in shorts right now, but his length, his athletic ability, his ability, what we've seen so far here in coverage, I mean, he ran down the other day, was almost stride for stride with Dalvin Cook on a wheel route. So he has some unique traits as a cover linebacker, and that's what you're looking for, especially when we're almost playing 70% nickel now. I think the biggest thing in linebackers in general is when they do come out of college, because they play against these spread offenses so much, they have to learn how to use their hands. They have to learn how to take on blocks. They have to learn how to get off blocks. But all that is that is coachable. But if they have, you know, the things that Elijah has, the athleticism, the length, he has a chance.
I'm more obsessed with your overall special teams this offseason than I think I ever have been. I mean, with Audie Cole, Red Ellison, Matt Asiata, Cordarrelle Patterson, with some of those guys gone, I mean, there are myriad openings all over the place for players to jump up and make the active 53. And Elijah could be one. Like Ben Gedeon from afar seems like he'd be a good special teams guy. What about like C.J. Ham? I mean, would you think C.J. Ham for special teams?
C.J. is an amazing kid, but he's an amazing football player, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being one of those success stories that we pulled out of our rookie minicamp.
Right, like Thielen.
Like Thielen and like
Sherrills.
Marcus Sherrills,
yep.
And he's a great kid that works extremely hard at everything, and so we're anxious to see him take another step, and there's a reason why we kept him on practice squad last year, not only what he showed during training camp, but we do feel that he has some special teams value. The other two that you didn't mention is two of our probably best special team players by the end of the year were brothers and were Jaron Kearse.
Yeah.
And so I know, you know, that draft class last year didn't get a lot of opportunities on offense and defense because of the layered of veterans we had behind them. But very excited. I think those guys are going to be major contributors for us this year.
Thank you very much for the chat. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate it.
Skull Sister.
Hey, Skull Sister.
Is it going to be another Eeyore, or are we going to be okay?
Are you going to be at the track to motivate her and give her a free
race?
Well,
I don't want to get around. It's just like, yeah, you have to have all this show for the horse. All the horse wants to do is go run.
Correct. This will not be as glitzy as
like
Tiger
pitchers Dan. And, you know, kids on that's like a pony ride. He's getting ready for
happening.
A big race, and he's walking them around with 16 kids on his back.
Tiger D lost so much.
Act like you've been there, will you?
We changed his name. Well, I haven't been there. That was the thing. I don't know what it looks like. The horse racing's changing
don't you
his
do
celebration
that for a living?
Rules for me. All right, I got to go. Thank
right.
you. See you. Bye, Ben.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Zach Calverson, Jared Wells, Eric Nordquist, everybody else. Talk to you all tomorrow for the Friday Football Feast. Byron Buxton's on the radio show tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Don't miss it. Bye.